Angie's wail echoed off the tube walls.
Theo's dead?
Pauline swatted her daughter's behind lightly. Keep moving. We'll be dead, too, if we don't get to the pod before those murderers get back here.
But what happened?
Angie asked as she resumed clambering along the rungs.
What's going on?
We're going to do just what your father did, Pauline said grimly. We're going into the pod and blast ourselves out of here before Volker and his crew can get their hands on us.
Capture.
She's veered off,
said Nico, scowling at the main screen on Vogeltoad's bridge. I can see that, Volker snapped from the command chair. Something spooked her, said the scavenger sitting at the navigation console.
Maybe,
Volker conceded. Or maybe they're just being careful.
Should we hail them?
Nico asked. Volker thought it over for a moment. No, I don't want them to know we're here. Let them think Syracuse is alone and needs their help.
But they'll see us when they get closer.
If they get closer, Kirk growled. They're moving away from us now. But they're slowing down, Volker pointed out.
Strange behavior.
What the hell are they up to?
Wait and see, said Volker. Wait and... The communication screen lit up to show an image of Elverda Apicheta's arid, withered face. Nico immediately put it on the main screen.
Attention, Syracuse, the old woman said. This is Hunter. We have been diverted temporarily. We estimate rendezvous with you in approximately 5 hours.
Diverted? By what? Volker fought down an impulse to reply and asked the woman why they changed course. Instead, he made a soothing motion with both hands and said, Calm down, boys, calm down. She'll be here in 5 hours.
Yeah, but...
Kirk, go to the boys at the airlock and tell them they can stand easy for another 4 hours or more. We won't be boarding Hunter until then. He got out of the big padded chair, stretched his arms up to brush the overhead, then started for the hatch.
And where are you going? Kirk demanded.
Volker grinned.
Back to Syracuse, to keep the ladies happy.
How about taking us with you?
Nico said.
Not yet. You maniacs would scare that woman out of her skull. I need her to produce the daughter first.
Then we'll have them both.
We can find the daughter without the mother's help.
You stay right here and keep an eye on Hunter. That's our prize. The two women are just icing on our cake.
Yeah, Kirk sneered.
Looks like you're going over there to lick the icing.
You'll get yours soon enough, Volker said, grinning. Then he ducked through the hatch while the other crewmen snickered behind his back.
Theo was coughing so hard his eyes watered. Not much oxy left to breathe, he knew. But the ship was edging closer, close enough for him to make out the glass-steel windowed bulge of what must be her bridge, and ports and other pods along her curving flanks. Airlock hatches, too. Through his tear-filled eyes, Theo saw several of them as the ship rotated ponderously, drawing ever closer. Come on, he muttered. But the effort started a new fit of coughing. I'm breathing my own fumes, he realized. It's only a matter of minutes until I choke to death. His vision was blurring badly, but he thought he saw one of the airlock hatches slide open. He could see the figure of a man standing at the lip of the hatch, outlined against the dim red lights of the hatch's interior. He knew he couldn't call to them, his suit's radio was gone, but he waved both his arms frantically. He felt hot. Beads of sweat trickling down his face, along his ribs. Coughing again. Can't catch my breath. It all went gray, foggy. Don't pass out, Theo commanded himself. Stay awake. But you need oxygen to stay awake, he said to himself. It's funny. He's so close. He can almost reach out his arm and grab me, but I'm going to be dead by the time he gets his hands on me. Everything slid into blackness.
Sheathed in a nanofabric suit, Dorn stood at the lip of the open airlock hatch, his eyes riveted on the space-suited body spiraling out there in the emptiness.
Its arms had been pumping until a few heartbeats ago, proving that the person inside the suit was still alive. But now the arms had stopped, slumped, extended motionless from the figure's shoulders in a weightless crouch, like a drowned man floating face down in the water. Dorn checked the control pad of the propulsion pack on his back. "I'm going out after him," he told Elverda.
"Are you tethered?"
she asked. "He's too far for a tether to reach," Dorn said, stepping off the hatch's rim and into nothingness. "This is a free-flight mission." She said nothing, but Dorn could sense her apprehension. Squeezing the control rod, he felt a sudden thrust push at the small of his back. He jetted the few hundred meters to the inert body, wrapped his prosthetic arm around it, and looked into the transparent bubble helmet. "It's a man," he called to Elverda. "Very young. He seems unconscious."
"Or dead?"
"We'll see." With his human arm, Dorn fumbled with the oxygen hose from his own life support pack. He found the emergency port on the unconscious man's suit and pumped fresh oxygen into it. The youngster coughed, shuddered spasmodically, banged his nose against the glass steel bubble of his helmet. But his eyes opened.
"What? Who are you?"
The lad's voice was rasping, painfully dry. "You're all right now," Dorn said. "I'll bring you aboard our ship."
"My mother! My sister!"
Coughing overtook him. Dorn said, "I'm taking you to our ship. Don't try to talk." Jetting back to the airlock, Dorn stood the youngster on his booted feet and turned to close the hatch. But his prosthetic arm would not move. It was frozen. Falker floated into the zero-G hub of Syracuse and started downhill along the tube tunnel that led to the backup control pod, where he'd left Pauline. The going was easy at first. He merely had to flick his fingers against the rungs built into the tube's curving side. But as the feeling of weight grew, he grabbed onto a rung, turned himself around, and started clambering down the rungs with the lithe agility of a circus acrobat. Voices! Falker stopped for a moment, listening. Yes, there were voices echoing up the tube. Two women, Pauline and her pretty young daughter. Falker licked his lips and began descending the rungs even faster than before, but silently.
"I was afraid of this," Dorn said sorrowfully as he eased himself into one of the galley chairs. His prosthetic arm was still jutting out from the shoulder, bent at the elbow, as if a cast had been wrapped around it. Theo couldn't help staring at the cyborg. The old woman had introduced herself as Elverda Apacheta. The name meant nothing to Theo. But this half-man, with one side of his face formed by etched metal, one eye an unblinking camera, one arm and one leg built of alloys and plastics and filled with bioelectronic circuitry, Theo couldn't take his eyes off Dorn. "You need major maintenance," Elverda said as she sank wearily into the chair on the opposite side of the galley table. Dorn puffed out a grunt. "That is an understatement." Theo took the chair at the end of the narrow table. "I need to get back to Syracuse," he said. "My mother and sister are in danger there." "Danger?" Elverda turned toward him. "A gang of scavengers has attached themselves to my ship," Theo explained. "I hate to think of what they'll do to my mother and sister if we don't get there fast." Dorn's human eye closed briefly. Then he said, "Their ship is named Vogeltot." "You know them?" "We know them. They're undoubtedly waiting for us to rendezvous with your ship so that they can board us and take over this vessel."
"We should get away," Elverda said, "as quickly as possible." "But my mother," Theo protested, "my sister."
"What good could we do?" Elverda asked. "We can't just leave them in the hands of those bastards." Dorn said, "He's right. We must do what we can."
"With one hand," Elverda scoffed.
"I can help you repair the arm," Theo offered, "while we're on our way to Syracuse." Dorn contemplated him for a silent moment. Then, "What do you know about bioelectronic circuitry? Micromechanical systems?"
"Some," Theo replied. "Not much, I admit. But if you've got manuals, instruction vids,
I can learn while we're on our way back to my ship. At least,